We'll look at our memory verse this week and last week's. Last week's memory verse was Isaiah 60, 1 and 2. Say this with me. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. And today's new verse is from Luke 3:16. If you remember John 3:16, remember this verse also. This is a promise. Luke 3:16. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's say that again. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke 3:16. Now we listen to God's word from our brother Newton.
You know, we were looking at the verse we got last week from Isaiah chapter 60 verse 2. The glory of the Lord will shine for you. You know, we use that word, the glory of the Lord, often, and we don't understand what that glory of the Lord means. This morning, when I came into the meeting hall and I looked at the verse, suddenly I was reminded of this verse in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. You know, Moses went up to meet the Lord in the mountain, and verse 15 onwards. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Verse 17, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Actually, I was looking for this word this morning. As soon as I saw this verse, glory of the Lord, I remember I said reading somewhere that the glory of the Lord is like devouring fire. I couldn't remember that verse. Then I looked into my Bible and I was able to find that verse. And I want to remind all of us this morning, brothers and sisters, the glory of the Lord, it was like a devouring fire. Way back when Moses met the Lord in that burning bush, later on, when the Lord called him, you know, there was a fire in the bush. And I want to say this morning, oh, we want to think more about that glory of the Lord this morning also. You know, we looked at this verse, Luke chapter 3, verse 16. That is what John the Baptist said about Jesus. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And this promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. You know, after Jesus was risen from the dead, and Jesus told in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So 120 disciples were waiting in the upper room, seeking the Lord in one accord. They said, Jesus has promised, and we are going to get it. And then it says in Acts chapter 2, and when the day, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. I want you to notice that there was a visitation from heaven that day, as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What I want to highlight this morning is There was the supernatural visitation, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit gave them utterance, and they began to praise the Lord. And brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit visibly descended from heaven in holy flame upon the people gathered there. We know they received power, fire, zeal, boldness, grace, and wisdom. Oh, they were full of praise, love, and faith. I believe they were all sincere, and the result was they had wonderful fellowship, and they began to witness to others about Jesus. And you know, persecution could not quench the fire that God put in their hearts. And Peter was just a young brother. And you know how Peter preached on the day of Pentecost? And if you want to know how Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, I just want to give you some references. You can go home and look at it. Acts chapter 2, 14 to 40. You know, people say, brother, I don't get enough time to share God's word. Some people, we ask them, can you take 5 minutes to share? Oh, that's too short, they say. 10 minutes is too short. People want 1 hour. But Peter, I was literally counting the time, the message Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost. It was just 5 minutes. What an anointed, powerful message Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. It was definitely not from his head. You know, that is the mark of anointing, dear brothers and sisters. And when Peter spoke, it says they were cut to the heart, or they were pierced to the heart. There was conviction of the Holy Spirit. And I want to speak to all young brothers and sisters. Today we are all educated. We got the concordance, all kinds of versions and CDs and DVDs and internet and everything. But what is lacking today is the anointing, like the anointing Peter had. Peter was less than 30 years, for your kind information. Anyway, he was around that. But it was a supernatural anointing. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. Oh, the way Peter quoted Joel and Psalms. And you know what Peter did? He magnified Jesus. He spoke about Jesus. You know, we ask people to give a testimony, and so often it's boring. And they start telling all their history, but they don't tell about Jesus. And I believe if you are anointed by the Holy Spirit, we will be full of the Word of God, and we will exalt Jesus. So next time, don't tell me that 5 minutes is too short. Learn from Peter, brothers and sisters, and especially all of you young brothers and sisters. Go home and study Acts 2, 14 to 40, Acts 3, 12 to 26, Acts 4, 8 to 12, Acts 4, 19 to 20, Acts 5, 29 to 32. 5 times Peter spoke. Oh, it was really anointed and powerful, and I long that many of us will seek the Lord from today for such an anointing. You know, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the holy disciples began to spread God's holy fire. What I want to share with you this morning, that Pentecost lit a flame that's been burning for centuries, last 2,000 years, and by God's grace, like someone said, it will never go out. The disciples became bold witnesses of Jesus, and the Lord supported them. That's a great thing in the Pentecost. You find the Lord mightily supported them. The Lord opened the prison doors. The Lord did signs and wonders. And I don't know, some of you, it's good for you to go home and read Acts chapter 2 as we celebrate our anniversary. Lord, we want that Pentecost once again, Lord, in our life. We want that fire. We want that power. We want the zeal. And I really believe that's the best way to celebrate the anniversary than by eating some grand food. Okay. And you know, we've had a campfire in our youth camps. And if you young people remember, we first light the fire in the center. People stand around, and you find the fire glows, and after some time, you know what happens? The fire tends to go down. And then, you know what we got to do? Often we put little more petrol and wood, and to keep the fire burning till the end of the meeting. And I believe, you know, That's what the Lord also seeks to do. The fire, there's a tendency for the fire to go down gradually, and that fire needs to be rekindled. And you know, through the centuries, God has raised up men of God to rekindle the fire. And I praise the Lord for all the men of God who have continued that work of rekindling the fire in every century. And I want to talk about India and our generation this morning. You know, in India, in 1975, God raised up Brother Zach and then Brother Ian. They came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that was the beginning of the church. And I believe God put a fire in the heart of Brother Zach. He had a burden to raise up a pure testimony for Jesus and to raise up true disciples for the Lord and to raise up the body of Christ. And as we have often heard, he was a burning and a shining light. Wherever Brother Zach went, in India and abroad, he spread that fire. Since the last 40 years, he has kept that fire burning. And I want to say, brothers and sisters, that's not easy. You know, many times the fire burns for some time, and afterwards the fire goes down. But I don't know whether you noticed that. I've observed Brother Zach for the last 40 years, and it's so amazing to see still the fire burning in his heart. And several people came into contact with him over the last 40 years and have caught that fire. And some of them today are leaders of many of our churches in India and abroad, spreading that fire that God put in their hearts. Myself, Brother Charles Bana and Brother Vetri Selvan are also examples of that. I am deeply thankful to God for enabling me to come under the ministry of Brother Zach and Brother Yin and to remain under the fire for the last 40 years. And I want to challenge all the young people this morning, if you want to be on fire for the Lord, hang around those who got the fire in their hearts. You hang around the half-hearted and the cold, lukewarm, average, mediocre, you will become like that. I want to say that again. You brothers and sisters, who are your best friends, are those who are on fire for the Lord or the mediocre? I've said this many times. If you hang around the backslidden, half-hearted, cold, lukewarm brothers and sisters, you will become like them. And as we complete 40 years, we have a responsibility to keep that fire burning. And that's the one reason why we celebrate the anniversary. Till the Lord comes. Whatever the cost, we must keep the flame of the Spirit burning on the altar of our hearts. You know, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle had a fire. That was the glory of the Lord. Even Solomon's temple, there was fire. And today, that fire's got to be in the church. You know, we know that verse in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. God is a consuming fire. And I want to encourage many of us. I have a fear that many of us are not even reading some of the articles of Brother Zach. And just want to encourage you, knowing God's ways, that book, there's an article, how God is a consuming fire. And Brother Zach has written that article from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14 and 15. Who can live? Maybe you can look at that verse. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14. Isaiah 33, 14. The sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness and surprise, the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? We heard this morning, the glory of the Lord is like a devouring fire. And here it says, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? You know why the Lord has filled us with the Holy Spirit? Not just to speak in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues, that's good. I believe it's good to praise the Lord. I believe the reason why God has anointed the Holy Spirit is the Lord wants to do a thorough work in us. You know, the Holy Spirit fights against the flesh. And first thing the Holy Spirit does is, the Holy Spirit fights against every bit of pride in our hearts. You know, the Holy Spirit always anoints those who are broken, humble, lowly, weak. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. You want this anointing in your life? That will make you really lowly, broken, contrite. Oh, the Holy Spirit seeks to burn continually all pride and rebellion and high thoughts. And the result will be, you'll become more and more lowly, like Jesus. And if you remember, for the last 40 years, that's what we have stressed in this church. 100% fight against every form of pride. As I told repeatedly in the past few weeks, we used to sing a song, "Here burns the fire of lowliness." I want to ask you this morning, dear brothers and sisters, has the Lord put in you the fire of lowliness that burns up every day, every bit of pride? And you will not be the same. I want to tell you, if you allow the Holy Spirit to burn up every bit of pride, you will become a glorious brother. Oh, may that fire be in your heart. And if you have not had that fire, I want to say this afternoon, go home and seek the Lord. "Lord, I don't seem to have this fire burning in my heart, Lord. Please help me." And I want to say the Lord will hear your prayer and really give you the fire that burns up all pride. And then the fire of the Holy Spirit will burn up all unloving thoughts and attitudes, because the Holy Spirit comes and floods our heart with His love, so that we can love God and love one another. And that's the mark of a church. Oh, brothers and sisters, the glory of the church is when the fire burns up all pride, when the fire burns up all unloving thoughts and attitudes. That means we don't entertain one bit of unloving thought. That means the Holy Spirit immediately tell you, "No, that's the unloving thought. Don't speak like that about that brother, that sister. Don't entertain the thought." You don't need to come to the breaking of bread to get light on your sin. And I want to say, if you are like that, you're quite a bit backslidden. You're lukewarm and cold. And the Holy Spirit burns up all worldliness and the spirit of the world. And I must say, that's what we have sought to do in CFC for the last 40 years. We have sought to fight against that spirit of the world, because He says, "Any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." We want brothers and sisters who don't love the world. I want to ask you, do you have that fire in your heart that's burning up all worldliness in your life? The fire burns up all disobedience to God's word. We want to obey everything that's written. The Holy Spirit will teach us to obey God's word. And the fire will burn up all spiritual laziness and will make us effective witnesses for the Lord. And the fire will burn up all selfishness, seeking our own and ourselves. The Holy Spirit wants to burn up ourselves so that we don't seek our own. So that, like John the Baptist said, "I must decrease." It's not an option. And the Holy Spirit will burn up all unthankfulness. Grumbling and complaining make us so thankful. I hope this morning you're thankful for the church. Thankful for the wonderful words of God that you've heard for the last 40 years that's preserved us. And in Galatians 5:17, you see the Holy Spirit fights against the flesh. Every form of flesh. We all have a flesh. And the flesh fights against the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fights against the flesh. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, your flesh will be put to death. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful way of living. And then in Revelation chapter 1 verse 14, it says here about Jesus, His eyes were as flame of fire. You know, in the church, we are against all forms of sin through our eyes. Most of the sins we do are through the eyes. The fire will burn up all lusting. Have you got that fire, brothers and sisters? I'm afraid that some of us have lost that fire that once the Lord put in your eyes. If the Lord has worked in your heart, your eyes will become pure, purer and purer. Peter spoke about some who cannot cease from adultery. You say, brother, I've been in the church so long, but have you ceased sinning with your eyes? Otherwise, you're not cooperating with the Holy Spirit. Oh, may you cooperate from today with the Holy Spirit, and may the Lord burn up all the sins that come through your eyes. And on the day of Pentecost, we read this morning, tongues of fire sat on them. You know, the Holy Spirit seeks to purify our lips. You know, we are tempted to sin much through our tongue. And the result is, you know, it says in another place, the Lord wants to give us purified lips. When Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, he said, woe unto me, I am a man of unclean lips. And says, he was touched by a live coal. Sisters, I want to say with love, some of you need a live coal to touch your lips, so that all gossip, unnecessary talking is all burned away. Go home and ask the Lord, give me, Lord, a live coal that will touch my lips, so that you can have purified lips, so that you can speak with grace, seasoned with salt. And when you open your mouth, there will be grace, there will be blessing, there will be wisdom, there will be edification. And I really tell you, brothers and sisters, that the Lord is mightily interested in purifying your lips and my lips. And if you cooperate with the Lord, things will really change. You won't be the same. And in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 14, the Lord told Jeremiah, I will make my words in your mouth fire. What a wonderful verse. You young people, take hold of that verse. I will make my words in your mouth fire. Then you won't be boring. And, you know, the Lord always told Jeremiah to speak some hard things. Jeremiah couldn't speak whatever he wanted. He had to speak only what the Lord told him. And then in Jeremiah verse 20, chapter 20 verse 9. One day Jeremiah got a little frustrated. He said, Lord, you're always giving me hard words. You know. And he said, so let me keep quiet. Then I said, I will not, verse 9, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was bear with forbearing and I could not stay. I heard this word from Brother Zach many years ago and it always challenged me. The word of God came like fire in his bones. He could not keep quiet. Brothers and sisters, that's how a meeting must be. The word of God coming like fire in our bones. In Luke chapter 24 verse 32, when the disciples were walking along, Jesus joined them. And Luke chapter 24 verse 32, and they said, did not our heart burn within us while he was talking with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures? When the Lord speaks to us more and more, our heart will burn. And when we come to the meeting, we must share in such a way so that others' heart also can burn. And I want to say, that's the glory of CFC. And if the Lord is not continually speaking to us, we lose that glory. And in the meeting, there should be a spirit of prophecy, challenge, exhortation, comfort, and edification, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I want to say this morning, all of us have a responsibility to live in such a way that the Holy Spirit can stir our hearts to make the Word of God living. And the Holy Spirit will burn up all unchristlikeness. And the Holy Spirit will give us a pure devotion to Jesus. You know, William Booth wrote the song, Lord, send the fire, send the fire. And he said, the danger is to cool off spiritually. And therefore, we need to rekindle that fire again and again and again in our lives. You know, Jesus had a burning fire in his heart to do God's will. And I want to show you one more verse in 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Paul told Timothy, in the James version it doesn't come out so well, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by putting out of my hands. It says in another translation, stir into flame, the Living Bible, the strength and boldness that's in you. Another translation says, fan into flame, the gift of God which is in you. You know, when the fire is burning and when it tends to go down, you know what we do? We need to fan that flame. Take something and pan or something and fan the flame. You know, in the church, God's put a fire in our hearts and there's a tendency for the fire to go down. And all of us, we should not just be coming and sitting and warming our seats. We need to fan that flame God's put in our hearts and in the church. And imagine if 100, 10 people, 20 people, 100 people, 200 people fan that flame. Don't tell me you don't have any ministry in the church. Forget it if you can't speak in the meeting. Can you fan into flame the fire God's put in your heart? That's a wonderful ministry. And you know, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 9. We have looked at it previously, but I'd like you to look at it again this morning. Leviticus chapter 6. That was God's desire. Leviticus 6, verse 9, 12 and 13. It's the burnt offering, because the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. Verse 12, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out on the altar of your heart. Brothers and sisters, let the fire be burning. That's a calling as the church. Every member, you want the church to be glorious? If you're a sleepy brother, lazy brother, cold, lukewarm brother, you're not building the church. We need those in whom the Holy Spirit can rekindle the fire and fan the flame so that the fire can burn and also spread to many other places. One more verse in Romans chapter 12. Verse 11. Here in the Living Bible, in the James Version, it says, don't be lazy. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. I want to say this morning, this is not written one to elders. This is written to ordinary brothers and sisters. You know how the Lord wants you and I to live? It says, keep yourselves fueled. Message Bible. And the flame. You should be a brother on fire for the Lord. Never lag in zeal. Be aglow and burning with the Spirit. Serving the Lord. And I want to invite all of you brothers and sisters. Oh, to wake up. Last week we heard, arise. Shine. Let the Holy Spirit burn in your heart. Isn't that God's will? You should be passive, lazy. I believe the Lord wants to, in the church, in the body of Christ, everyone should have that fire burning. And to keep the fire burning till the Lord comes. And the Holy Spirit always shows the glory of Jesus. More and more and more. And the Lord told in Revelation chapter 3 to the church in Laodicea, you're not hot. You're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And it's possible, brothers and sisters, for some of us, that we've lost that vision, we've lost that fire. And I want to say this morning, the worst thing is, you don't even know that you've lost that fire. That's why you should go and check up with the elder brothers. I want to say, if you're serious about your life, he will tell you, you're a backslider, if he really loves you. And that will make you repent. And the Lord told the church of Laodicea, be zealous and repent. That means you take it very serious. You give it topmost priority in your life. And that's how we can keep the fire burning. To live in constant repentance. All of us, we need, the fire can easily go out of our life. Oh, we need to come back to the Lord and say, Lord, baptize me the Holy Spirit. Give me that fire. And I want to say this morning, if you can say, Lord, if you'll only give me that fire, that's enough for me. Single young people, The Lord wants you to be on fire for the Lord. Don't just say, brother, I'm doing this and that for the church. That's good. But is there a fire? I remember years ago when I heard God's word in the church. Oh, I was blessed by God's word. Husbands and wives, the Lord wants you to be on fire. Just because you got married and have children doesn't mean you should grow cold and become lukewarm and become a respectable member in the church. And even older brothers and sisters, it doesn't mean you should relax now just because you're about 60. Oh, I've met brothers who are in their 80s on fire for the Lord. Let's seek the Lord with a hunger and thirst. Let's live in constant repentance. Let's seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let's hang around with those who got that fire in their hearts, who are devoted to Jesus. And I want to say this morning in conclusion, God's great longing is for a church that's on fire. You don't find it in many places. And that's what the Lord did in CFC many years ago. He put a fire in our hearts. And the glory of the church is to have that fire burning in our hearts. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's not take it for granted. It's not easy to keep the fire burning. You've got to live in constant repentance. Oh, may the Lord stir each one of us. And I hope this morning we'll really repent of our laziness, of our coldness, of our indifference. If you repent, I'll tell you, the Lord will stir up your heart. He will not quench the smoking flax. We heard a few weeks ago. I wonder how many of us will respond to God's word this morning and say, Lord, stir my heart, Lord. I want the fire to be burning. We used to sing one song, it only takes a spark to keep the fire burning. We used to sing this song, pass it on. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, can you pass on the fire that God's put in your heart? Oh, may we respond to God's heart this morning. Shall we just close our eyes and pray? Lord, we seek your face this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the fire you put in our hearts 40 years ago, Lord. We thank you for the fire that's burning in our midst. And we pray this morning, Lord, you will have mercy on us. We don't want that fire to go out in our lives, Lord. We pray you will give us a repentant heart, a hungry, thirsty, needy heart. And help us to see you as a church, Lord, that you can work in us and rekindle that fire in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, especially we pray for all our young people, that you'll touch them, Lord, with the fire of the Holy Spirit, Lord, and lead us higher, Lord, and let that fire be a glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you for elders, we thank you for all those who led us all these years. We give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, I praise the Lord for what we heard from Newton this morning. I know it came, it flowed from his heart. And I think back how God brought us together. And when we had to leave the Baptist church because we believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we praise the Lord that through the years that's what we have proclaimed. And I just think of the word that Jesus cried out, you know, on that last day of the feast in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. It says, on the last day, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And that's all it takes to believe. Just to believe, Jesus said. He spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. And if I believe, if you have not only just believed in him for forgiveness of sins, but Believe in Him for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire you will receive. And rivers of living water will flow from our innermost being. That's how it's gone through the years. Like Newton was saying, that it only takes a spark to set a fire glowing. I think of that song. I wish we could sing it. Speaking of the love of God, pass it on. Pass it on. And I can say by the grace of God that that's what I've sought to do through the years. And others also who have believed. And living water has been flowing from our innermost being. And I believe that Jesus stands right here in our midst today, 40 years later. And He still cries. Like He cried on that last day of the feast. When He said there, if anyone is thirsty, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We were thirsty. We came to Jesus and we drank. He's never disappointed us through the years. And rivers have been flowing from our innermost being. I want that. We want that, my brothers and sisters, for every one of you who are part of the family of God. You're losing your birthright. Your birthright is not just the forgiveness of sins. Your birthright is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and fire so that you can pass it on. You can pass it on to the next generation. Like this word that we have there, which Brother Zach sent us, that we can be gripped with that. Arise, my people, it's in the Living Bible. Let your light shine for all the nations to see, for the glory of the Lord is streaming from you. Darkness as black as night shall cover all the peoples of the earth. That's a Living Bible. But the glory of the Lord will shine from you, and all nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see the glory of the Lord upon you. Not ourselves, but the glory of the Lord. Like we heard, I don't speak about myself. We want to speak about the glory of the Lord. That's what we must testify to in the meetings. That's what I should preach in the church. The glory of the Lord. Not what I have done, what I have accomplished, but the glory of the Lord. It says, you know, that the glory of the Lord will stream from you. And as we look at this, you know, the concise word of Isaiah 61, it says the glory of the Lord will shine from you and you'll be a joy for all the world, for the Lord will make you so. That's verse 15. The Lord will make you so. I don't have to do it. We don't have to. We can't work it up. The Lord will make it so. And Isaiah 43. I'll stop for that. That's something that many times has come to me. Isaiah 43. And, you know, the Lord says some wonderful things there. Read it sometime. And He says there in verse 4, since you are precious in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I'll bring your offspring from the east and gather you from the west. And so on. And it says, everyone who is called by my name, verse 7, whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, even whom I have made. And then it says in verse 18, do not call to mind the former things. We are not looking at 40 years ago. We thank God for what He's done, for bringing us together. We are not even looking at last year. But it says there, He says, do not call to mind. Here's a word that you can hold on to. The former things, or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. And I like to read that to you from the Living Bible. It's just what we just read, that the glory of the Lord will stream from us. I'll read that to you from the Living Bible and stop. It's something that we can hold on to for the years to come. Verse 18, it says, forget all that. Verse 18, it is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. I'm going to do a brand new thing. See, I have already begun. Don't you see it? I'll make a road through the wilderness of the world for my people to go home and create rivers for them in the desert. And that's what God is doing He says, yes, springs in the desert so that my people, my chosen ones, can be refreshed. And let's really come to the Lord. Let's drink from Him. And He stands in our midst like He did 40 years ago. He wants to do a brand new thing, my brothers and sisters. We won't even need to think, you know, God is telling His people, forget about what I did bringing you through the Red Sea. I'm going to do a brand new thing. Forget about all the answers to prayer and the miracles I've done. I'm going to do a brand new thing in your life, in your home, in your family. And it has begun. That if any man is thirsty, Jesus said, let him come to me and drink. From his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. The glory of the Lord will stream from us, touching other people's lives. Pass it on. Amen.
There are many titles given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've seen posters and some people have the t-shirts. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Son of David. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He is the High Priest of our confession. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Prince of Peace. And a whole list of all the titles that Jesus has from the Bible. And one thing I missed in that whole list, and that's what we read this morning from Luke chapter 3 verse 16. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. All the four Gospels testify to this one fact. Right at the beginning, even before Jesus began His ministry, John the Baptist testified about Him. And what did he say about Him? Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. I baptize with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I. I'm not fit to untie the thong of His sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Mark's Gospel as well, Mark 1:8. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Luke 3:16, what we just read. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. In John's Gospel, they were asking John, who are you? Are you the Christ? Are you the prophet? Are you the one who's to come? And he said, no, I'm not the one. I'm just the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But after me, one is coming. How do I know who he is? He says, well, that one whom you see, the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remaining upon him, he is the one who will baptize in the Holy Spirit. And when he saw Jesus, he says, oh, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, that's the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And for whom is this? For whom is this promise? Who is he going to baptize in the Holy Spirit? We read from Acts chapter 2. When Peter preached that gospel, he quoted from Joel, that prophecy that Joel had made many years earlier. In Joel 2, he said in chapter 2 verse 17, it shall be in the last days, God says, God is saying, that I shall pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind. All mankind, not just for Jews, but for Gentiles, for Indians, for Americans, for Koreans, for Japanese, for everybody. Both men and women, it says here, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Old men, young men, women, children, everyone. Nobody is exempted. God is going to pour forth His Spirit upon all flesh. It is for you. Further on in Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Peter's telling them to repent in verse 38. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God has promised. To whom? The promise is for you and your children. And for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. Everyone. It's an open invitation. That verse what Brother Ian read, if any man is thirsty, anyone is thirsty, you come to Jesus and drink. As many as the Lord our God shall call to Himself. And if you think you're not called, you are called. God is calling you today. What's He calling you to do? He's calling you to follow Jesus. Read there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, you have been called for this purpose. If ever you doubted what's the purpose of life, if ever you've thought about why am I here on earth, well, one of the purposes is you've been called to follow Jesus. You've been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in His steps. Christ came and He was a trailblazer. He himself was anointed and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he baptizes those who follow him in the Holy Spirit so that they can follow through this trail of fire. And what did he do? Follow him? He committed no sin. He had finished with sin. He was tempted in all things like we are, and he did not sin. And he says, come follow me and overcome sin in all its ugly forms. What kind of sin? He said that he committed no sin. There was no deceit found in his mouth. He never told a lie. Not a single lie, because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. The devil, he's a liar. He said in John 8:44, he's a liar and the father of lies. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature. That's the devil. And if you speak lies, then you're of your father, the devil. But if you're a follower of Jesus, then you speak the truth. In Revelation 14, it speaks about those 144,000 standing with the Lamb. And it says about them, no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. The Spirit of Truth in John 13, and John, Jesus calls the Spirit of Truth. He said, when he comes, the Helper, that is the Spirit of Truth. He will lead you into all the truth. So we finish with lying. All lies. All deception. And while being reviled, it says here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, he did not revile in return. People say bad things about you. Do you say bad things back again? Do you take revenge? It says, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Peter wrote also in his other epistle, he said, well, in chapter 3, he says, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but give a blessing instead, 1 Peter 3:9. That's what Jesus did. He didn't revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. Imagine that, bearing somebody else's sin, suffering for the sins of others. Other people mess up and you have to suffer because of that. And you bear it patiently. That's to follow Jesus. And it says here, why he bore our sins in his body on the cross. Why? So that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. We're finished with sin. That's the purpose he has called us to die to sin and live to God. And if we have that, and then it says, by his wounds you were healed. I've heard that verse, that last part quoted many times in healing meetings. But they omit the large part of that whole passage, which is about following Jesus and ceasing from sin. It says here, you must die to sin and live to righteousness. Do we have that hunger and thirst for righteousness? Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be satisfied. And if we have that longing after God, because he's a righteous God, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne, then we can come to Jesus. There's only one qualification required. You don't need to go to Bible school. You don't need to memorize a lot of scripture. You don't need to attend conferences. But you have that longing. Lord, I've got this lying in my life. I want to get rid of it. I've got revenge and bitterness in my heart. I want to get rid of it. I'm fed up with sin and a defeated life. I want to get rid of it. Oh God, will you help me? I'm thirsty for this life. Then he says, you can come to me. The invitation is for you and for everyone who's far off. And those who are longing for a godly life, an overcoming life, a life like Jesus lived, welcome. Come to me and drink. He says, anyone is thirsty. That psalmist, the sons of Korah, they wrote a psalm, Psalm 42. He says, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts after you, O God. They were panting and longing in a dry and dreary land. They were panting for the streams of living water. Then you can come. Come to me and drink. The only qualification is, are you thirsty? Are you fed up with a defeated life? Do you want to get victory over anger, over lust, over lying? Then you can come to Jesus. He will give you the Spirit of Truth and remove all lying from your lips. Paul says to the Colossians, do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the evil old self with its evil practices. Speak truth, each of you, with his neighbors, because you are members of one another. If you're fed up of that, you can come. And to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not some magic formula. You don't need to go through a whole religious process. God's word is simple. What does he tell us to do? Let's look in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Jesus tells us from verse 9. He's talking here about prayer in this chapter. And he says, so I say to you, it will ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's that simple. I remember many years ago when I was just not yet 18 years old, I was fed up because I was sinning and sinning and sinning. I could never get victory. Lord, help me. I'm really fed up. And I asked and I received. And what God has done for me, he can do for anybody else, because there's no partiality with God. He is no respecter of persons. God wants to give us his Holy Spirit. If you come to Jesus, you're coming to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Anointed One, the High Priest of our confession. But you're also coming to the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Do you have that thirst? Are you fed up with your life, the defeated life? Do you want to be among those overcomers who stand with the Lamb on Mount Zion, among the 144,000 and beyond, in whom no lie was found? You come to Jesus and drink. He's asking you today, are you thirsty? If any man is thirsty, come to me and drink.
Jesus said in John 10, verse 12, when the hireling sees the wolf coming, the hireling is not a shepherd, when he sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The Lord also said in Jeremiah 3:15, I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. We see of many churches and we hear of many churches, they spring up, and of late it has become a business these days. Churches and religion and preaching has become business. It's to make money. And many a time when we look at some of these so-called godly men, number of people get disappointed, because in one way or the other, the leaders, you know, there is politics in the church, and they fall away, and churches wind up. And when I was born again, I was looking for a role model, a godly person whom I could look up to and follow. And God led me to CFC. And ever since, I have no regrets. I have not looked back. For me, like it says in Psalm 16, the saints are the majestic ones. They are my heroes. I have looked at them and their lives for the past 40 years. They have led you all these 40 years. 40 years leading without any scandal or blemish is not easy, my brothers and sisters. Just look around and see how many churches are there and how many elders are serving like they are serving here in our midst, without salary, without a title, and they don't expect anything from you, but their only desire is that you be blessed, and that on the final day, the day of reckoning, they will be able to give a good account of you. You know, Paul said, we are ambassadors of Christ. The one who serves the Lord faithfully is an ambassador of Christ. But you know how ambassadors are treated in this world? Even the poorest of the poor country's ambassador is better off than you and me. But you know how the ambassador of Christ lived, who wrote half of the New Testament? You just turn with me and see how he lived. He says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 7, he says, "Did I commit a sin in humbling myself that you be exalted, because I preach the gospel of God to you without charge?" Show me one preacher outside of our CFC churches who preaches the gospel without charge, who doesn't take collection, who doesn't ask you for one single thing. 40 years, you have seen these elders here, and they have lived in such a way that you have nothing to point out, unless you are a reprobate, unless you are someone who is ungrateful. Ingratitude brings backsliding. That's the first step of backsliding. You read Romans 1, they were not thankful. 3 times it says, because of that God gave them over to depraved mind. Because you are not thankful for the ones you see here in this church, the godly brothers who have led you all these 40 years without taking anything from you, but only desiring your best, and just because they have not charged you anything, yeah, everything that comes free to us, we don't value it. Supposing you are asked to take a ticket for 1,000 rupees and come every Sunday for a meeting, how would you listen? You'd be more attentive, and you would take notes and go back home and make the best use of it, just like how you attend some seminars, worldly seminars. You pay a huge sum and take notes of all that and make sure that you just stick to them. Here everything is given to you free of cost and you take it for granted. And you know how this ambassador lived? Just turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. And mind you, this man did so much. Today's preachers don't have 1% of this man's good attitude and anointing. And look at this ambassador, how he was treated. I would like to read that from the Amplified Bible. Just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 4:11. From the Amplified Bible it says, "To this hour we have gone both hungry and thirsty." To this hour means the time when he was writing this letter to the Corinthians. He doesn't say I. He, along with his co-workers, he says, "We have gone both hungry and thirsty." I don't know when was the last food that he had. "And we wear but one undergarment." Have you ever read this? I was shocked the other day when I read this in the Amplified Bible. This ambassador of Christ, he says, "We wear but one undergarment and shiver in the cold." Have you ever heard of anybody living with one underwear? And mind you, brother, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, "We shiver in cold. We wear threadbare clothes, torn, ragged clothes. We are roughly knocked about and wander about homeless." The same thing Message Bible puts it very clearly. "Much of the time we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces. And we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. When they call us names, we say, 'God bless you.' When they spread rumors about us, we put in a good word for them. We are treated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen, and it's not getting any better." This is a true man of God, and he was treated in this world this way. And true men of God are being treated like this even today. The people who started as servants once upon a time have become celebrities today. They live like celebrities. But look at the examples in your midst, brothers and sisters. The Bible says, I will end with that one verse in Hebrews 13:17. You will do well to take heed to this. If you want it to go well with you, please listen to this verse. Obey your leaders, submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. I think it doesn't need any explanation. It is simple as that. I hope you will take heed to that.